your light in this dark world, which lies in the grip of the evil one. Teach us your truth this day as we hear and read your precious word. Amen. Genesis chapter 1, verses 26 to 30. Have you got it there, James? Then God said, let us make man in our image, in our likeness, and let them, man, rule over the fish of the sea and the birds of the air, over the livestock, over all the earth, and over all the creatures that move along the ground. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him, male and female, he created them. God blessed them and said to them, be fruitful and increase in number. Fill the earth and subdue it. Rule over the fish of the sea and the birds of the air and over every living creature that moves on the ground. Then God said, I give you every seed-bearing plant on the face of the whole earth and every tree that has fruit with seed in it. They will be yours for food. So have you had your fruit and veggies this week? They will be yours for food, and to all the beasts of the earth and all the birds of the air and all the creatures that move on the ground, everything that has breath of life in it, I give every green plant for food. And it was so. In the beginning, God gave man dominion over the earth. Man was to rule and reign over the earth with God as his head and master. That was the original plan. But in the Garden of Eden, man gave his allegiance to Satan. He believed the word of Satan over God's perfect word. And the world became subject to the reign of the evil one. The evil one became man's master and man became his slave. That is why the world's in a terrible mess today. Man gave his allegiance to the devil. And as a result, man is born with a bias to sin. The mess, the pain, the suffering in the world is not God's doing. He does not delight in people starving to death. He does not delight in the sexual abuse of children. He does not delight in war. He does not delight in injustice of any kind. If he did, we wouldn't bother to send missionaries overseas, would we? Injustice is a result of the work of Satan. Hatred, envy, greed, and strife is the work of the evil one. Jesus said in John 10, verse 10, the thief, or Satan, comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I have come that they may have life and have it to the full. What a contrast. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I have come that they may have life and have it to the full. In 1 John 5, verse 19, it says that the world is under the control of the evil one. The world is under the control of the evil one. In the book of John, three times when referring to Satan, Jesus calls him, now listen to this, Jesus calls Satan the ruler of the world. Okay, John 12, verse 31. This is what Jesus said. Judgment is upon this world. Now the ruler of this world will be cast out. John 14, verse 30, Jesus says, I will not speak much more with you, for the ruler of the world is coming, and he has nothing in me. John 16, verse 11, Jesus said, the ruler of this world has been judged. If Jesus said it, then it must be right. What do you reckon? When it came to Satan and his hold on mankind, Jesus saw it as it was. He knew the purpose and the power of Satan. In 1 John 3, verse 8, it says, the Son of God, Jesus, appeared for this purpose, that he might destroy the works of the evil one. That is what Alison and Narelle are doing right now in Sri Lanka. All the missionaries that we support 12 projects of missionaries around the world. Their job is to destroy the works of the evil one and turn back people to Jesus. That is why Jesus came to this earth. That is why God took on human form, that he might destroy the works of the evil one. Satan has been judged. His days are numbered. He was dealt a death blow when Jesus hung on the cross. Satan may have bitten the heel of Jesus, but Jesus Christ has stomped on his head. The battle belongs to the Lord, and victory is on our side. Amen? Amen. Can I have an amen?
Amen?
So here we are, as new Christians, in this sin-fallen world, which is still controlled by the evil one, but he knows his days are numbered. He knows the kingdom of God has come, and God's light is shining through us, the church. And people are being set free from Satan's grip because of this. People are being set free from Satan's grip because of the word of God. That belief in the word of God sets people free. The last couple of weeks, I've been reading this amazing book. It's called The Book That Made Your World. The Book That Made Your World. Who has read this book? Isn't this a cool book? It is a book about the Bible and the difference it has made in societies. In the Western world, now the Western world is moving away from the Bible. We're beginning to see what's happening. But this is a brilliant book. If you like reading and if you don't like reading, get a hold of that book. Read it just before you fall asleep at night. It's a really, really good book. It shows you how powerful this one is. It's really amazing. So here we are as Christians in this world, but not of this world. You got that? We're in this world, but not of this world. Who's ever felt like you're in this crowd of non-Christians? You feel like you don't really belong? Yeah, that was school for me. I got born again as a six-year-old, and going to school, it was often really hard because I felt like I'm not like them. I don't swear like they do. I don't do those things like they do because I was in the world, but not of this world. We have a mandate to shine the light of God. We have a mandate to change communities with the love of Jesus. We have a mandate to take back what the devil stole from God. The authority of the Almighty God, the great creator, the God of the universe, is on our side. We are fighting a spiritual battle which we know has been won on the cross. But even though we know God has a victory, it isn't always easy for us serving God in a fallen world, is it? No. And many times we don't feel like we have the victory. Is there anybody here that sometimes doesn't feel like you have the victory? Okay. There are three points that I want to share with you today that will keep you fighting and winning the good fight as a soldier of the cross. We are in constant spiritual warfare. James, can I have that picture? We are in constant spiritual warfare. And there may be times we just want to give up because we don't feel like we're getting anywhere. Well, that's not how it should be. We're on the winning side. Victory is ours. And there are three things we need to know and continually account for in our fight for Christ. That's us every day. We're fighting for Jesus every day. Okay, point number one, to ensure that you fight successfully the good fight as a soldier of the cross, you must, number one, know your coach, God. The Apostle Paul in Philippians 3, verse 10 said, I want to know Christ and the power of his resurrection. There's a big difference between knowing about God and knowing God. There's a big difference between knowing about God and knowing God. As born-again Christians, we need to know God. He should be our main focus. He should be our everything. God has revealed himself in the Word. Let's put this one down here. In the Word, everything he has revealed about himself is available to you. If you want to know him, you read it through the Word. His very names in the Bible speak of his goodness to you. He is Jehovah Jireh, your... He is Jehovah Rapha, your... He is Jehovah Kadesh, your sanctifier. These are names of God in the Bible. He is Jehovah Shalom, your... He is Jehovah Shammah, your ever-present God. Isn't that beautiful? He is Jehovah Ra, your shepherd. He is Jehovah Tsidkenu, your righteousness. He is Jehovah Nissi, your banner. Knowing God is knowing the victor and all he wants to do for you. Okay, that's point number one, know God. Point number two, to ensure that we fight successfully the good fight as soldiers of the cross, you need to know about your opponent. You don't need to know your opponent. You need to know about your opponent, the evil one. I'm not a demon chaser. I thank God I was brought up with a good, balanced Christian teaching based on the Word of God. Everything you need to know about the evil one is written in the Word of God. A number of years ago now, I stupidly bought a ridiculous book from Koorong. I think it was called something like Pigs in the Parlor. It was absolute rubbish concerning the devil and demon possession. I ended up throwing it in the bin. All you need to know about the opponent is in the Word, okay? Who saw this week on footy, there was two guys from opposite teams, two Indigenous guys, who actually gave each other a hug on the pitch? I actually really liked it. There was something like 70% of Aussies really like seeing two opponents giving each other a hug on the pitch because they had a personal joke going. There was about 70% of people who hated it because, you know, when you're on the pitch, you're supposed to be, like, in warfare with each other. You don't. But, okay, this is probably not a good example, but that's not what we're supposed to be like with the devil, okay? He's not our friend. We don't need to know him. He's our opponent, but you do need to know about him and how he operates. And this is what the Word says. It doesn't say a lot about the devil, but it does say some things. Before the creation of the human race, the devil, who was then called Lucifer, was a high angelic creature who rebelled against the Creator. This is described in Ezekiel 28, where it speaks that there came a time when he, Lucifer, conceived a thought, a terrible thought, that he was wonderful enough to act without God. He thought that his wisdom was sufficient to initiate ideas of government. And he thought that his beauty was such that he should receive from the lower angels acknowledgement of his worth. From that moment, there were two wills in the universe. And all that has come of misery and sorrow and death since that time came as a result of this first of all sin conceived in the heart of Satan. Satan is out to steal, kill, and destroy. Anything that is pure and holy, anything that is of God, Satan will oppose. In 1 Peter 5, verse 8, it says, the devil prowls around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour. The devil prowls around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour. But the only weapon he has against you as a born-again Christian is lies. In John 8, verse 44, Jesus said, "There is no truth in the evil one. When he lies, he speaks his native language, for he is a liar and the father of lies." I'm going to read that again because this is your opponent. "There is no truth in the evil one. When he lies, he speaks his native language, for he is a liar and the father of lies." Satan and his demonic hosts are continually bombarding the world and you with lies, statements which oppose the truth of God. That is why you need to know God, so that you can emphatically and with confidence counteract the lies of the evil one. Knowing God and knowing about your opponent is very, very important. God wants the best for you. He wants you to experience his grace and his mercy. He wants you to be fully restored in him. Satan, on the other hand, wants your destruction, full stop. So anything that he tells you, it will be in opposition to what God tells you to do. Satan will say, "Be a stingy person, keep your money, just look after yourself." God says, "Give, and it will come back to you." They're in opposition all the time. Now, there's one more point that I want to cover with you today. And this is what I've been building this sermon up to. It's not a long sermon. But this point, the third point, is what I believe God wants me to communicate with you more than anything. Point number three, to ensure that you fight successfully the good fight as soldiers of the cross, could I have that picture again, please, James? You must know yourself. You must know yourself. You need to be honest and know yourself. You must know your spiritual strengths and your human weaknesses. Anyone training in any area of high-level sport need to know the areas in which they are particularly strong in and the areas in which they may be weak, particularly if they're working with a team. When I was a real little girl in the 70s, my dad used to love watching Muhammad Ali. And back then, he used to still have the name Cassius Clay. Gee, that's how old I am. And I can remember as a kid sitting on the lounge watching black and white telly and watching Muhammad Ali fight in the middle of the day. You know, when the fight was on, everybody stopped. And it didn't affect me mentally. I enjoyed watching because they had rules back then, really good rules. But I came to realise that if a boxer had a cut on them, that became their weak spot. And the opponent would make sure that his punch lies on that cut over and over and over again. So the boxer had to make sure that they protected their weak spots. God is our strength, and God has gifted us all in specific areas to be strong. However, because of our humanity, we have definite weak spots. There are areas in our lives which are more prone to sinning than others. Some people call them strongholds, other people call them mindsets. Whatever tag you put on it, the fact is that every now and then that old sinful nature can rear its ugly head and we must deal with it. Some of you are more prone to be tempted in the area of pornography. Others find that you have an issue with a bad temper. Others find it hard to forgive, to let things go. Others find that you are easily offended. Others find that you get jealous very quickly when someone seems to be doing better than you. Some of you may be tempted on a regular basis to steal. Some of you are continually dealing with materialism and wanting to buy things all the time to give you that source of happiness. Some of you fight addictions. Some of you are more inclined to be moody or depressed. Yes, moodiness and depression is not nice to other people who have to look on. It's a sin when you put it on other people. The list goes on and on. The fact is, we all have areas of weakness that we face daily. Let me just say that the Holy Spirit will pinpoint your area of weakness, like a coach will pinpoint the area of weakness on a boxer. He'll quickly put that plaster over it, make sure that it's covered. He'll wipe the blood away so hopefully the other guy won't notice. No Christian can say, oh, I didn't know about that sin, when the Holy Spirit is constantly convicting us of our wrongdoing. Amen? I don't think I've ever sinned without the Holy Spirit saying, you shouldn't do that. That's why Christians make really miserable sinners. It's no fun. It's no fun. Because you've got the Holy Spirit, don't do it. Pamela, don't go down that road. Stop being moody. Stop thinking that. Don't think that thought. Now, this is the climax. Listen to me now. You need to know yourself, because your area of weakness, that place in your personality where you find it hard to do the right thing, can either be an opportunity for Satan to do his destructive work, or it can be proof of the power of the cross. I'm going to say that again. That place in your personality, everyone think of that place in yours, not your husband or your wife or anybody else. Okay, I know some of you think, oh, this is a really good sermon for them. Well, think about yourself. That place, that weakness in your personality where you find it hard to do the right thing can either be an opportunity for Satan to do his destructive work, or it can be proof of the power of the cross. It can be proof of the power of the cross. Your area of weakness, the biggest obstacle of challenge within your human nature, can either be an opportunity for Satan to do his destructive work, or it can be proof of the power of the cross. Ephesians 4, verse 26 to 27, it says, do not sin. Can we all read that together? Do not sin. It doesn't say, look, maybe you can sin a couple of times, or every now and then, or if you've had a bad day, I get it, so maybe then. It just simply says, do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your anger, and do not give the devil an opportunity. Gee, that's a great scripture, isn't it? Do not give the devil an opportunity. The evil one is an opportunist. He will make the most of every opportunity for you to sin. Every single one. He's aware of your areas of weakness, and that is where he will tempt you the most. So your weaknesses are very attractive to him. And some of you have got a lot you need to deal with. He will use every lie, every trick in the book to tempt you to succumb to that sin which opposes God's truth. He finds the weakest link in your chain and pulls on it really hard with lies. God, however, is also aware of your weaknesses, because God took on human form. He was tempted just like you. He understands more than you can ever know. He was tempted in every way, but never succumbed to temptation. What a God! And because he lived amongst us, he knows our old man behaviors. And this is what he wants you to do. James 4, verses 7. When you are tempted, submit yourselves to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Come near to God, and he will come near to you. Humble yourselves before the Lord, and he will lift you up. Isn't that beautiful? I'm going to read it again. When you are tempted, listen, this is going to happen this week. It might even happen straight after church. Quite possibly it could. It could happen in the kitchen when people are busy, couldn't it, Robert? People could be tempted to say something they shouldn't. Okay, here we go. When you are tempted, submit yourselves to God. Oh, all right, God. I will do what you're telling me to do. And in doing that, you resist the devil. And he will tell you again. No, actually, it says he will flee from you because you're submitting yourself to God. Come near to God and he will come near to you. Humble yourselves before the Lord and he will lift you up. It works. I've done it. Who's done this? Yeah, it worked. Come on, Christians, those who've done it, who have humbled themselves, who've resisted the devil, who's had this experience? I've had it time and time and time again. I know I've said this before, and it was quite a while ago when I did. When I first moved into this church, I had an amazing experience in the children's church region of this building. Before we came, there were people meeting here who were called the Orange People. And they are very similar to Freemasonry. They have some very, very weird beliefs. And when I came as pastor of this church, I didn't want them renting a room any longer, so I sort of dismissed them. But one day, it was very early in the piece, I'd gone into that room and I was just praying and I felt this real... And I'm not a spooky kind of person, okay? People who know me, I'm very down to earth. I love science, I love facts. But I knew an evil presence had come into that room when I was praying and it was letting me feel that it was very big, ugly, dark, black, and it wanted the worst for me. And I felt it come and hover over the top of me. And I was on my own in the whole church. And I can remember going, the hairs on the back of my neck going, this isn't good. This is not good. And I thought, what do I do? So what I did is I got myself into the most humblest position I possibly could. I laid myself on the floor and I started to worship Jesus from the floor. I submitted myself to worshiping God at that time. And you know what happened? The presence just left. And I just continued to worship. Then, that was the end of the day. I came out of here and I felt God say to me, the person who's on the bike that's riding towards the church, he's going to ask you something. You answer him. So I thought, this is really weird. It's strange. So I locked the door and I turned around. This person was riding towards me. And then he looked at me and the bloke said, how are things going in there? I went, really good, thank you. Really strange. And I think God allowed that to happen because he was showing me the devil's hand. He was letting me know spiritually what was going on. And so I got in the car and I drove home and thought, well, that was really weird, Lord. But God showed me at that moment that humble yourself before God and he'll deal with the rest. He will deal with the fight. You just humble yourself in that weakness. For where you are weak, that is where the power of the cross can be demonstrated to the greatest degree. 1 Corinthians 12 verse 9 says that God's power is perfected in weakness. Isn't that cool? God's power is perfected in weakness. God's power is perfected in weakness. It goes on further to say, when I am weak, then I'm strong. When you submit to God, your temptations, the evil one hates it that much that he flees. The evil one hates a humble, contrite heart. Satan hates it when you say, God, I'm giving my weaknesses to you right now. I know I'm tempted in this area, but I'm going to trust you in this and give it all to you. I will not feel guilt for this temptation. I choose to bow my knee to you, then commit that sin. God, I'm bowing my knee to you rather than taking offense with that person. God, I'm bowing my knee to you rather than buying that thing I don't really need. God, I'm bowing my knee to you rather than allowing this jealousy to take hold. God, I'm bowing my knee to you and rather than turning on the computer and being tempted by pornographic websites. God, I'm bowing my knee to you before I even think of shouting abuse at the driver who just cut me off. Yeah, that one touched a chord with most of you, didn't it? God, I'm bowing my knee to you rather than displaying a moody, grumpy, negative attitude. I choose this day to bow to you and your will, rather than succumb to the subtle temptations of the evil one. Make your weaknesses accountable to the Almighty God, and He will do something awesome in you. Make your weaknesses accountable to the Almighty God, and He will do something awesome in you. He really, really will, people. He will. This is truth. And by the way, God empowers you to say no. His Holy Spirit empowers you to say no. This week, some of you have come up with temptations once again. What I'm telling you is you've got to say no. And move towards God. Move towards God, and Satan will flee. Know God, know about your opponent, and know yourself. Who wants to be a stronger Christian? No, I do. We'll do this. This is the solution. This is it. It's as simple as that, people. You know, this word a lot of people don't want to hear in churches anymore, do they? But we've got to do the word. Would the musicians please come forward? And as they do, I'm going to pray. Heavenly Father, I just thank you for your word. Lord, I thank you that we have your word. Lord, I pray that everybody in this place will read your word on a regular basis. We'll learn more about you. But Father, I pray this week for those people who have been struggling in areas of temptation, that this week your Holy Spirit will speak to them in a very powerful way and remind them that you want what's best for them. And Lord, I pray that people will see miracles happen this week because they submit to your will and that they say no to their own. Father, I pray that our will be your will. So Holy Spirit, I just invite you to touch hearts right now. Touch hearts right the way through this place. That, Lord, they will be obedient to what they've heard this morning. And, Lord, if people don't know you as their personal Savior here today, I pray that they will open their hearts to you and your goodness. Amen.